but I had a hellacious number 12, par 5, pretty scoreable. All you had to do was hit the ball straight, and I put it in the water, and then snap hooked one right into the woods on the other side, and then said, okay, I'm taking another drop, and dropped it and hit it over the green into the water, and was literally all I wanted to do was for you to just say, just take your 8.
Good day, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Fairway Fit Golf Podcast, where two friends get together to talk about how we are trying to look good, feel good, and play good. Let's go.
All right, welcome back, Fairway Fit fans. We are season 2, episode 5. It has been, what do you think, Greg, about 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
We've been on the mics?
Solid 2 weeks.
Yeah, we have had some vacation going on, a little bit of time off from work. We've had a little bit of time off to spend some time with family, do some traveling. We've done a lot of different things. Played some golf even, worked it in.
It's
worked
true.
In major number 2, which we will get to. Keep everybody anticipating, but we will get to. But man, how was your vacation?
It was busy. I love when kids talk to me at school and they're like, oh, did you just hang out and chill over the break or whatnot? And I'm like, no, like our days are busier at home than they are at school. But we hit trampoline park. We hit
a
beach one day. We hit a children's museum. We did lots of golf cart rides. We did the indoor pool at my parents' place. It was nonstop.
Yeah, I think we're about the same. We traveled down to Myrtle from ourselves. We went down with some friends, had a really good time. But you're right. It's almost more stressful, more active than your normal days at home. I could say I probably could have used a staycation more than a vacation, just being around the house.
Could have used Monday off would have been solid.
Yeah, yeah. Kids were good. They enjoyed it. I think one even said it was outside of Disney World. It was like his second favorite vacation. And I was like,
oh,
what?
Wow.
Really? I was like, really? We didn't do that much. We could have gone to the pool at home. The weather was nice, but it wasn't like hot by any means.
Yeah, but you weren't jumping in that pool.
Oh, yeah. Their pools were heated. They weren't really like super warm, but they were heated. It was just the cold wind that was blowing hard. They went to the beach one day, but it was that they were not getting into. That was almost too cold just to stick your feet in there. But now had some good times. Hung out with a good buddy of ours, Tim. Who came with us to the Fairway Fit Cup and had a lot of fun. Could have used the week off now.
Yeah, but
now
that would be nice.
We are back to the grind. First day back for both of us today. Got a little vacation golf in, which is always a good time as well, too. I know I played 2 courses, then I played a 9-hole course with the family. One of those obviously being major number 2. I think you got out.
I got out one more day. One more round. Played an Eagles Nest.
How was that? Did you like it?
I liked it. I think that it's a very scoreable course. The hardest thing about that course really is the greens because they're all undulated and they all like move way more than you read.
Really?
I don't think I really made a putt outside of probably 5-6 feet the entire day. Most of my putts made were kind of gimme locations, but wasn't rolling it like I was on Monday.
No. Yeah, I think I played that a long time ago. Kind of one of those, I went down with dad, but I played by myself type things. And I don't remember too much about it. Scoreable.
Yeah.
Big greens, but I don't remember much about the greens. But I was able to, I went back to Wild Wing, where my team was able to pick up the cup on the championship round, which is, again, right behind me, just to let everybody know. But yeah, so I went over there with Tim. We did move back a tee, just by chance. We really wasn't one reason to do it or not. And again, love the course. Great shape.
It wasn't the tips though, right?
No, it wasn't the tips. There was one more before the tips. It played right around 67.
Eagles Nest, the tips, all of the tee boxes are elevated. It was awesome.
Oh, really? What was the yardage from back there?
I think it was, I want to say it was probably right about 7,000.
You played that?
Maybe a little bit
later. Oh, you did. Okay, I saw you. Okay, I see
you. No. I was playing with a senior travel group. So
I thought
they
were
playing the senior tees, and I was like, all right, you know what? I'm just going to bump back to the whites. I'll play the whites today, and that's fine.
Yeah, I thought you were, but you never know. Some of those guys can still hit it a long way, shooting their age.
Yeah, they are.
But no, I remember, I've been told about a lot of the Myrtle Beach courses, even tips, you're not really stretching more than 7,000.
Yeah.
Because they are more resort style, vacation style courses. And let's be honest, there's not many people that should be going out there.
There wasn't a huge difference between white, blue, black.
Yeah.
I will say that, like, they had blue tees. But I want to say that basically it was almost like white was like 60, just under 65. And then blue was like 67 and black was like 69 something.
Yeah, I didn't mind it. We played it, like I said, right there. I didn't even think the par threes stretched out too bad. We ended up getting that one where the double green ended up playing like 190 carry, but it was more or less into the wind was the different part. Mm. All the other ones, if they carry, kind of like when we played our major, there were some 190 numbers, but it would end up playing more downwinds.
And
the front edge was more like the 175, 180. So they're still on the longer side, but they're not your 225, 230 that
I hate those par threes.
Yeah, that's a par.
You put me on a par three that's 213 yards, and I'm just like, here we go.
Yeah, unless the green, and usually those greens are small. I wish the green was like football field wide. I'd be okay with that. I'd actually have a chance. But give me 54 yards wide with a giant logo in the center, and I could just aim for that the whole time on a football field.
That'd be solid.
But yeah, so.
Paint a Fairway Fit logo on it.
I wouldn't mind that. I used to paint logos a long time ago. A lot of paint. A lot of spray paint when I did that. A couple cases. But last time on our episode, we were able to talk about workouts. And I know I have gone pretty heavy into that workout. Didn't have the greatest week over vacation, but I did get in there 2 to 3 times. I think I ended up missing one day that I had scheduled for. The car ride messed my hips up a little bit. I'll be honest, when I got home, I didn't want to do much more than sit around. But yeah, I know we talked a little bit about our full body push day, full body pull day, twice a week for that. So that would give us 4 workouts. And one thing that you mentioned, and I wanted to hold off until this episode, was mobility and core. And I think when we left off, you talked about you try to hit your mobility kind of middle of the week. And a perfect week would be your Wednesday, and then maybe once again on Saturday.
Well, mobility I kind of work in every single day. With 10 minutes of mobility goes a long way. If you can take out 10 minutes of your day and do some mobility, that's actually awesome. Find a way to take 10 minutes and go ahead and get your mobility in. But
so
core, I'm definitely hitting.
You say that, but everybody uses the word mobility. And I know just movement, obviously.
It's definitely different from stretching.
Different from stretching. So go through, what would you do in a 10-minute time frame? Obviously, you probably have different workouts throughout the week, but give me one 10-minute workout that some of our fans
use. A big one that I love to do is hip mobility, and that would be basically an internal rotation of the knee, get into a deep squat, and then internal rotation of the knee, which will basically allow that hip to rotate out, and then basically lean back, and you'll get that quad stretch as well, and you're stabilizing yourself the entire time, so you're working on stability as well as mobility. Another good one that I would throw in there is, it sounds super stupid, but duck turns. And it's a
squat. Give me a little bit more on that. Duck turns.
It's a deep squat, and you're just basically almost like pressuring down on one foot, lifting one foot up, opening the hip out externally, and then doing like almost like a 90 degree turn, and then just going back and forth left and just externally rotating that hip. That burns. So I do a timetable on that one. I don't really set it on how many reps, but I will basically do it for about 30 seconds, maybe a minute at the most. And that'll be a great kind of fire up the hips and open them up. Another good one that I do for hip mobility is 90-90 reaches, where basically you're in that 90-90 position and you're driving yourself, walking your chest down towards the ground, but pressuring outward to open up those hips. Another one is hip cars. A lot of people hear of like ankle cars and stuff like that, but hip cars, where you're stabilizing yourself up against a rack and elevating the knee straight up and then externally rotating the hip, turning your knee down towards the ground, just basically go through the entire range of motion of your hip for a couple, do maybe 30 seconds on each side, take a break, 30 seconds on each side, take a break. Right. And then another good one really is hip flexor hamstring stretch. So basically rocking back and forth between a hip flexor stretch, which a lot of people don't stretch. A lot of people have tight hip flexors, but with us running every day, pretty much it's a big ordeal to do that. And then rocking back to stretch those hamstrings as well. Another one I would throw in there would also be either a Jefferson curl to keep your spine good and lubed up, or I call them squat rockers, where you get into that deep squat again. You grab the bottom of your toes and then you're stretching. You're basically keeping your chest down and keeping your hands underneath your toes and straightening your legs. So you're kind of getting, once again, mobility of the spine where you're rounding it out, but then you're also stretching your hamstrings. And then as you come back down to that deep squat and bring your chest up, you're getting that hip mobility as well, opening up the hips.
All right. So that's a lot of different. We're going to have to get some video on that. Just one, maybe to see you in some weird.
Just the duck turns one?
It's the duck turns. Just so I can say that I got a video of Greg doing duck turns.
I'll quack during it too. It'll be a good bit.
So let's talk about your Wednesday. So let's talk about core. I know core is huge. And obviously in the golf world, but any athlete, I know I've been able to incorporate a lot of med ball type things, throws, different types of slams, different things. And I've actually incorporated it with a couple of kids that I know play baseball, some stuff that I've seen. I'm trying to get my little guy to start throwing the med ball around, but it turns into a more of a game, which I'm okay with right now. But
we that's fine.
Pretty quickly.
Make so exercise a game.
If I can get 5 minutes out of him of focus, it's great. And then we just see how far we can throw it in different things, which is not a bad thing. But what about, so talk to us about your, let's just call it our Wednesday, Saturday, because I know that's the way you do it. Something that anybody can probably do once, maybe twice a week could really help them out.
Yeah, this I precedented it last time was this kind of that beach body day, arms and core. You really activate all of your biceps and triceps whenever you're doing most of those push and pull days. So I don't really hit arms that much. I preach that if you have just a solid arm day, you're wasting your time. But
you do feel good afterwards, though.
You do. You fill the sleeves a little bit more and stuff like that. You get a little pump. You get that vein popping through your bicep. Yeah. It's awesome. But I'll do a circuit of basically regular straight bicep curls or hammer curls, your choice. Then I'll immediately go over to kneeling rope extensions for triceps. Okay. I have to kneel because our cable pulley machine isn't that tall. I know I'm not tall, but at the same time, I do have to kneel for it. Then I'll go with a extended, like a long grip handle, double bicep curl on the cable machine, and then a single crossbody tricep extension. Follow that up with, I do three-way shoulders, front raises, lateral raises, and rear raises, and I'll cycle through that 4 times, and that'll be my arms. Done. Okay. Pretty simple and easy, pretty straightforward. You can do it in a small area, and obviously all of those exercises have tons of different variations that you can work with depending on your equipment. You can use a band for majority of them. After that, I go into my core. A lot of my core is rotational. I start off with standing staggered step. If I'm rotating to the left, I drop my right foot back, and it's a standing pal-off rotation. So once again, just activating that core through rotation and trying to keep my lower body as still as possible. From that, I'm going to, I stole this from Bryson DeChambeau, but kettlebell, I call them kettlebell lateral swings. Yes. Point of it is to basically have a very short back swing and a very explosive forward swing and stop. So as quick as you can stop it at the top of your swing, the better. And basically do both sides on that. And then after that, I'll go to med ball, wall balls. Once again, it's how I've tried to figure out getting on my front side and sticking with my heel in the ground rather than I say that this is probably how I figured that out, is feeling it through a med ball rather than through an actual golf club. But med ball, wall balls on both sides. Then I'll do hanging either toes to bar or knee raises to work the lower abdominals. Follow that up with, I like to do a little core stability of a farmer's carry or farmer's walk. So just keeping the core as tight as possible, trying not to move as much, trying not to shake as you're walking or shimmy. And then the last thing I do is I'll basically take a lighter med ball, say maybe 4 pounds. And I'll do the med ball side slams where basically you're taking your backswing and you're mimicking dropping your hands from the slot rather than rotating through. Obviously finishing it, but it's a golf swing, but you're slamming it right behind your back foot. And then I'll circuit through that 3 times and it's a killer one. It gets you.
There you go. No, I like it. There's so many variations and there's a lot of good stuff out there that has talked a lot about golf mobility, golf core, and different rotational exercises to do. No, I appreciate you giving that. I'm looking forward. I only got 1 day of that last week, and that's what kind of threw me off. I did a push and a pull day. I got 1 day of the core mobility, and then I was trying to get back there one more day, but I'll be honest with you, I got lazy.
Time ran out.
Yeah, we'll say that, but time in the day, maybe that one time. But I did do a Greg, and I sent you a picture about 9:30 at night. I headed over there into the weight room.
Solid. You gotta love a nice night workout.
So I did that. And
that's still a little early for most of my night workouts, but
I know, but that's not for me. I did that, and I worked out. I think I did a mile warm up on the treadmill just to get some stuff that I've been drinking all day flowing a little bit. And then at the end, I was like, oh man, I haven't been on an elliptical in 10 or 12 years.
Do they not feel weird? Every time I've been on an elliptical since.
It made me dizzy. I got motion sickness. I'm not going to lie.
I feel like I'm like unathletic or I can't put 2 feet together. It's so weird where when I go on it, I get out of rhythm really easily.
Oh gosh. So I did that. I think I did a mile of that at the end, just to cool down. And I remember walking back to the room and I got back in court. It's like, what's wrong? I was like, I'm super dizzy. Like I feel like I've been in a car and you know me, and like that's one reason why I drive everywhere. I'm like, she goes, what did you do? I was like, I did an elliptical. She goes, oh, I hate those machines. I will say, I used to, years ago when I worked in the gym, I would crush an elliptical. I always thought it was safer for my knees, but now I don't know. I really don't have access to one anywhere. So it was one of those things. Let's give it a try. But I was glad to get back on the running today. Had a good day today. Got back in there, did my push day. And then ran 3 miles afterwards. Tomorrow will come early, but it is what it is. We'll figure it out there. But that's our workout stuff. Like I said, we'll try to incorporate different things that we do to train for golf. We do say we're not here just to work out. We are training for golf to be better, to play better on golf trips, which is something that we take seriously.
Look better on the course too.
To look better.
Let's face it. There's an intimidating factor when you walk onto the first tee with somebody that you don't really know, and they'll be like, maybe you just hit that arms day and they're like, look at that bicep pain.
Until I hit 1 OB and then they're like, man,
okay.
And you just work out. But let's talk a little bit about our vacation golf. Like we said, we both got extra rounds in, but let's talk about what we are on here to talk about. We are here to talk about major number two. And let's just get it out of the way.
No, I kind of do we? No,
I'm going to get it out of the way now because I've had multiple people say, wow, he can finally say the streak has started. So Greg,
I'm actually going to re-coin it the three-peat.
The three-peat.
I'm not even going to use the word streak. I'm not even going to give you that satisfaction. I'm just going to say three-peat, baby.
Yeah, well, three-peat would mean you got to win 3 years in a row. Let's put it that way, because the year's not over yet.
I'm a three-peat major winner.
All right. I was four, so I won 4 out of 5 last year.
I need one more to get the career grand slam. So I'm on my
board. We're not talking about last year. We're talking about now.
Congrats. Okay, I've gone back to back this year.
Back to back this year, but you have a streak.
I have three in a row.
The streak has started. It's alive. It is, until we meet again, it is the most current and active thing you've got going on.
That is true.
That's probably the best streak you've got going on.
I had a losing streak last year that was pretty long.
No, that's not a good. This is a good streak you got going on. Yeah. A positive streak. But let's talk about the round. I will say overall, I don't think either of us played bad golf. I thought we played pretty average golf. I think you obviously scored a little bit better, which was able to give you the victory. But let's recap the round a little bit. We went down.
I think basically, you didn't play your best. I played about normal and just you played bad enough to give me a chance, and I played good enough to take it. I wouldn't say that I went out there. Like, I would say this, and we'll get to it later, but there was times where I was like, I ain't going to pull this one off.
We'll get to that later, because there was an aspect where I thought you've played better than I've ever seen you in the 10 years we've played. So we'll talk about that in a moment. And statistically, I think it will hold up.
Yeah.
But we were able to get to Crow Creek, which is an exciting course. It was something that I've always driven by going down to Dad's. I think you've probably driven by it many times getting down into the Myrtle Beach area. It's a Rick Robbins design. Don't know who he is, but shout out to Rick Robbins.
Oh, it was pretty solid.
Opened up in 2000, which, so I did not know that, but if I really sit back and think about it, that's about 3 or 4 years before my dad actually got a place down there. So that all makes sense.
I should have stopped there on my way down to Senior Beach Week. I could have played there real quick.
I was already there.
You were already at Virginia Tech playing ball.
I was. But we ended up playing the Blue Tees, par 72, played right about 6,700 yards. I thought the course was in phenomenal shape. Probably out of all the courses we've played down there, I'd say that was top, if not top two, that we played this year.
We had some run on some shots too.
Yeah, it was firm. The greens were firm. I thought the overall the course was fun.
Oh yeah.
It had water in play. It had trees in play. It had run out in play. I thought it was it was a lot of fun.
I would go back and play that course in a heartbeat.
I was thinking about it would be a incredible scramble course because there was just enough risk reward where you can take on some water and some different shots. But then when you're playing your own ball, you did have to step back and methodically think. There were holes that you could bomb it and go find it. And then there were holes you're like, all right, I got to carry here, but can't run out to here. I just thought it had a little bit of everything. The wind did pick up at times, which made it interesting. But honestly, it's been a pretty windy year. So I didn't think it was bad or good wind. I just thought it was in play on some holes. But overall, I thought the course was great. Tim, our buddy, was with us. My dad was able to join us. But man, let's get to it. We did a Stableford. Do you remember the point system or you want me to run through it?
I can look it up real quick. But do you know that a triple bogey was -2?
Yes.
A double bogey was 0 points.
Yep.
We gave 1 point for a bogey.
Yep.
2 points for a par. 4 points for a birdie. 6 for an eagle.
Yep.
10 for a net hole in one.
Net ace.
And 20 points for a true ace.
True ace. Unfortunately, I could tell nobody.
Did I just nail that off the?
You did. I actually didn't have the other two, but when you said them, they remembered. The two were the ace, nobody got, unfortunately.
No, still no.
Still nothing going on there. And then the net ace, I don't even think we were really that close.
No, I don't believe
really
so.
Came down to it. But yeah, great course. I think overall, what we're doing, obviously, between match play and Stableford's coming, it's coming down to the end of the matches. So they are set up right. The course had me playing at a 5. It had you playing at a 17.
Yeah.
So going into it, I'll be honest with you.
That's also because I bumped up again. I bumped up my handicap again because I'm guessing that I had some of those low summer rounds pop off.
I think that came in after the fact is when you actually bumped up.
I bumped up to like
2 or 3 more.
I was a 13.9. So I bumped up to 5 right before that.
I wonder how it, I don't know how it always,
it might have rounded me down to a 16 before, but whatever. Yeah.
But yeah, so you were sitting there. So I know giving up 12 shots, I knew it was going to be tough. I knew I had to take advantage of my holes that I had my 5 shots on. And I do think when it comes down to it, and not to jump ahead too much, I think that kind of was the difference maker, is I either par or bogeyed those, and I never took true advantage of my shots. Giving up basically one
birdie
per hole. I did have a true birdie later on in the round, and I think I did have a net birdie when it came down to it. But out of the 5, I think I had a net birdie and 3 bogeys. So it doesn't... I didn't really take advantage when I needed to take advantage. And you did. If you look at major number one, I think if you looked at major number one, you had 3 triple bogeys and a quad. I think this round you ended up only having, you had 4 doubles and 1 triple.
Yeah.
And that If you really think about it, I know the score ended up being the same, but when you're doing a point system, that's pretty good. You would have been plus eight minus. I'm sorry. You would have been minus eight to 10 points.
Yeah, it would have gotten out of hand real quick.
It would have been rough on those. So you played the format, you played match play, had the big holes, got rid of them, and then here you were able to take advantage of the system. But I know I'll go through my front nine very quickly, my basic stats. I ended up with a 42. I was 4 for 7 with fairways. I was 44% green in regulation. So four of nine on greens. I ended up having 18 putts. I didn't hit anything close on the green when I hit the green, and I never really got up and down. Did very well all day. So I had one double bogey and 4 bogeys. The one double is when I pull hooked one into the water, ended up making par on my second ball. So really one bad swing and maybe 2 putts difference where I could have easily been 38, 39. But that's where I sat. I think I had 1.5 penalty shots on there, which is also something I've been trying to look at a little bit more. And Grant does keep that for you. I had 1.5 penalty shots on the front, and that was my one. And then I think I had, well, that's it. That's what it is. It's the 2 shots and then go from there. I had 42. And then after 9 holes, I did have 16 total points. So let's go ahead and give you your nine. Front nine,
I shot a 46, hit 4 for 7 fairways, and I only had one out of bounds off the tee. I only hit 11% of greens in reg. I was missing greens. I made up for that, though, with my putting. I only had 13 putts on the front nine. I had 4 1-putts, and technically I had a 0-putt. That was a putt off the fringe that I actually made, and then had 1 3-putt. That was a bad one. That was a 3-putt bogey that I actually hit the fairway, hit the green, and then 3-putted to blow that hole. But I was 11% green in regs, 4 for 7, which is, can't remember.
56%?
Yeah, it's pretty 56, solid as far as hitting fairways.
4 for 7 is what I'm looking to do every night. That puts you about that 56 to 60% range, which is, I'm not going to say we're tour average, but I think tour average is like 56 or 60%. So if we can do that, I know that's great. And let's be honest, how many of them probably landed in the fairway and rolled out through?
I wasn't, besides the OB one on 2, I don't think I was really too far gone off the fairways when I was missing them. But definitely rolled the rock well in the front nine to the tune of 13 putts and 9 holes.
Yeah. So what I think was huge is you did have 3 triples, and with you getting a shot on every hole means you scored points on every hole. So that was, I'm sorry, 3 doubles. Did I say 3 triples? I meant 3 doubles. So you had 3 doubles. So with getting a shot on every time, you either took a point home or 2 points home or even 2 rounds of 4 points, but just getting a shot on everyone. So I really do think the front was really big for you. Through 5 holes, it was 11 to 10 you. We were pretty close neck and neck for a while. And then through 9 holes, I have you at 19 points and I had 16 points. I knew it was going to be difficult. I will say I felt like for myself, once I got that double out of the way, I did go on a little bit of a birdie or bogey streak, but I never felt like I was just had a lot of bad shots. I just didn't ever hit anything close. And when I missed, I either short-sided myself, and the greens were a little bit quicker than I think we were usually.
You burned a lot of edges. It's not like you were missing putts like 5
no,
feet left. Kept on burning edges or just having it stop an end short or something like that.
Yeah, with the double and hitting that one in the water, if I take that off the scorecard and then maybe take 2 more putts off the scorecard, I'm sitting right where I try to be, which is below 40 on each side. And hopefully I get lucky and shoot something closer to par. So I felt pretty good. I thought you played outside of that one hole where you hit out of the construction site, I have a good picture of you hitting from there because it looks like you are hitting from the deck on the construction site. I know you're not, but it looks like you're back in those trees. But like I said, you kept it there. You had 13 putts.
Yep.
A little bit of that is when you don't hit a lot of greens and you chip the ball well, you have opportunities to make putts. And you were making those.
Shout out. I did have a 30-second chipping lesson from you on, I think it was 6.
What was it? I do think you were rolling in. You gave yourself chances and you made some chances. And even when you missed, you had confidence with the putter. I bet you can't go back and remember a sub-30 putting round.
No.
In a long time. I wouldn't say forever, but in a long time. So anyway, we're making the turn. And let me flip the card over here. Making the turn and going straight into the back. Like I said, since we know your streak has started, I'll get my score out of the way. Now, I did come to play a little bit more.
Oh, yeah.
On the back. I started off pretty solid. I had a little bit of a middle stretch, which I could have maybe helped myself out a little bit. And I ended pretty well. But I ended up with a 39. I was 3 for 7 on fairways, which ended up putting me 7 for 14 on the day. So I was 50% overall on fairways. I did hit 56% of my greens. So I ended up being 50% greens, which I like to be one more green or two more greens higher than that. But overall, I'm not really that upset with that. Again, I don't think I hit anything close. I don't think I made those putts. Had 17 putts. Ended with a 35. I ended up with four bogeys and birdie. And if you remember right, I actually just missed going out of bounds. Luckily stayed inside, hit a good putt. And I think I made like a 20, right around 20, 22 foot putt, which ended up being pretty big. Kept me in the match. And overall, I lost 2 shots to penalties. Maybe I roll on a putt here, chip something a little bit closer and take away those 2 shots. I'm turning in an 81 into that 77. And a lot of things I see where I need to get to that number is short game. It's plain and simple. It's short game. I couldn't tell you what putter did I use that day. Was I 2-ball putter that day?
Yes. No. Yeah, you were the 2-ball putter the day after. The next.
I did end the week with the 2-ball putter. I couldn't remember what I started the week with the 2-ball putter. I did technically have 2 putters in the bag, which I did tell you about, and no stroke penalties or anything for that.
But there's been times where I've accidentally had an extra 3-wood in the bag.
But yeah, so I sat there with an 81 through. We'll go do the points in a second. So let's give us your 9, your back.
Blew up / held it together in the back. I only had 2 pars on the back, but
I think you only had 2 in the front too.
Yeah.
So.
Solid day. Playing bogey golf the majority of the time, like you said, since I was stroking, I was still scoring points. Really, the only saving grace of the day was that I was putting well and chipping close to the greens. But I had a hellacious number 12, par 5, pretty scoreable. All you had to do was hit the ball straight, and I put it in the water and then snap hooked one right into the woods on the other side. And then said, okay, I'm taking another drop, and dropped it and hit it over the green into the water. And was literally all I wanted to do was for you to just say, just take your 8 and go home. And then I was like, I am dropping 6 and hitting 7 and possibly could save an 8. Luckily, I had a good chip and put it close and made the putt to score an 8, net 7. Not take any points away. That was probably a big one.
It really was. It was huge. Like, I don't think you realize when it comes down to it, that was big. And I will say,
number 6, the par 3 that I hit the ball in the water off the tee and then re-teed and then chipped it over the green and then made that hellaciously long putt.
Yeah.
That was a big one too.
I do. That was like a 70-footer putt. Yeah. I think I threw you your rangefinder so you can get a true distance on.
Yeah, that's
a lucky putt, though. That's a lucky
putt. Oh, no, it was that happened to go in.
But the chip on the third lost ball of that one hole to 4 feet, And I remember even like on my head, it said, should I just give that to him? And then I'm like, no, I can't.
Oh, yeah.
I need a negative point here. And because if it went in, I knew you were able to still stroke and that gave you a zero, which that was your only zero of the whole day.
Yeah.
I mean, that, which is pretty impressive when it comes down to the Stableford. And regardless of what the system is, that's the system we were playing.
We play the highly modified Stableford.
Yeah. We play the fairway fit system, but that's what worked out. And we kept it pretty close though. I have through 15, when I made my birdie, I did take a lead of 31-29. And I bet that was the moment where I even told myself, I was like, man, if I could par in, I should win this. I should be in that at the end. And I ended up playing the rest of the way one over. I played 15 on, I played one over and I lost. But after 15, it was 31-29. I had a 2-point lead. After 16, I was able to keep that lead to 32-30. We both netted par, I believe, on that hole. Nope. No, I got a bogey and you got a
bogey net par.
Make sure I see the right thing there. Yeah, there we go. And then on 17, it was the same thing. I had us 32-33. I was able to have a 1-point lead. I think that was the bogey you netted for a par. I just had a bogey. And then on 18, we stood on 18. I had a 1-point lead going into a par five. Your tee box, and I think you striped it pretty much just short of the bunker. I think it was headed right at the bunker. We weren't sure until we got up there. I did not hit the driver as well as I have been lately, and I pulled it into the woods. I think you went first, you hit hybrid, and we weren't really sure where you were, but we knew you were up at least around the green. Not really sure what you were doing. And I had a lane, and in a couple days time, we'll be able to come out with our major two video. So you guys can check out this shot. I did have a window. I thought I actually hit a pretty good shot. I'll be honest with you. I got through the alley. I hit a tree that I didn't even know that was going to be in play and left me about 50, 155 out. And I was able to hit to the fringe, and I'd weakly two putted in there. I think you left your chip short. You had another 4-footer.
I had to go over. I tried to go over a tree to get to the pin and basically took it way too high and left it a little bit off the fringe and had confidence in the wedge still, because it was hitting the Texas wedge a lot, and you had confidence in it and chipped it close and actually made a
4-footer. I remember leaving it out there, 4-footer. And then, so you made par, which ended up netting you a birdie. And that is what happened. I picked up 2 points on there. You picked up 4 points on there. So you're 36-35 victory. And I will say I was a little frustrated because par lost, which is what it is. I knew at the time, it is frustrating when making a par. I don't think you should necessarily lose unless you lose on a birdie, but it is what it is. You took the lead on that, and the streak has begun.
The three-peat streak has begun.
That's a streak. It is what it is now.
I will say, once again, on the back nine, I didn't putt nearly as well. I only had 16 putts.
Yeah, but you hit one green.
Yes. Yeah, that's
so good. Hitting two greens and having 29 putts.
And I only hit 2 of 7 fairways on the back, but 29 putts and I think 7 1 putts on the day ain't bad.
Yeah. The one thing I saw on Grint that got you is that you had 7 penalty shots.
Oh, yeah.
So we always try to look at a round.
3 on one hole. Back.
And a lot on one hole. But if you take the 7 away, you shot a 92. You take 7 away, puts you at 85.
Yep.
All right. You clean up. Now, you're not going to have 29, 30 putts every time.
Oh, no.
So you can't really say the putting. But let's just say you hit 2 or 3 more greens. Now you're hitting 6 greens. And you putt really well. You're shooting 80.
Yep.
You're that close to shooting 80. I think overall your contact really wasn't bad. It is, you're still trying to figure out your lines. I think even you said you were almost playing a draw from off the fairway back to the fairway, which you're like, I got to start straighten myself out. When I hit it straight, I'm still right. And then a couple, you did line yourself back up and you turned over a little bit. Your miss is still left.
Yeah.
You got yourself in a little bit, I think, trouble early on there in the, on the one shot. But even my dad said the ball striking is good. You're solid where you were lights out on the green, which if anybody putts well should be able to score well in golf. I'm looking forward to that 17 or that 12 shots I have to give you to start dropping down to 4 or 5 shots that I want to have to give you.
I tell you the truth, I'll be tickled pink if the only thing I get against you is 4 or 5.
The way I'm playing, we might be there sooner, but it's because I'm moving on. I'm climbing up pretty high right now.
But if you look, I tell you what, it's the handicap system is undefeated. Your net was 76, my net was 75. So it's a one stroke difference.
When you lost by a point. So I got curious when I got back if we went to the system where you only had 12 shots and I had 0 shots, which is sometimes that's how people obviously they do it, but it takes it puts a lot more pressure on myself. I actually lost by a couple more points that way. So
you did the math again?
I did the math again and went back. And again, it's when it came down to it. That's how I knew very quickly I lost on those 5 holes because I ended up not scoring points. I ended up being like a wash. You have a handicap. I got to pick up 4, if not 5 points on that and didn't. It just the way it worked out. So I didn't think I was going to say that on here. I thought about keeping that one to myself. But yeah, you beat me both ways. If you really
nice.
Want to look at it. It's not 4. It's your streak. Your streak is 3. But yeah, so that's. Major number 2 is done. It looks like we don't have major number 3 on the books quite yet. We'll have to start talking and getting that in the books, getting that scheduled and ready to go. I know my weekends and week is just slammed for the next 6-7 weeks. I think yours is about the same as mine. Honestly, I don't know when my next round of golf is, which for me, that's very rare. I usually can figure stuff out.
That's actually quickly. The most surprising thing I think I've ever heard you say in the last 2 years.
A year. Well, it's just a year, not 2 years, year since I've been able to become a member of Nextdoor. But one thing we've always done in the past is we've tried to reflect we're big on reflection and getting improvement in different things. And we have goals for this year, which we've reviewed in episode 1 and episode 2 of this season. But we always talk about the scale of positivity. So out of 10, Greg, what is your scale of positivity that you're moving in the right direction or you're going to get that goal this year?
I'm going to say that it's utter confidence, but still have to work on a lot of stuff. Like I texted you today when I started watching the videos of my swing, because I was just like, after Eagle's Nest, I was just like, what is going on with my swing? I'm making great contact, but it is not going where I want it to go. But I would say
it sounded like going Eagle's Nest, you struck the ball similarly, but you just didn't make any putts.
Yeah.
And it kept you from making your 91 or 92 and ended up being a mid-90s to high 90s rounds.
Oh, I lost way more balls too.
Oh, really? Okay. You lost 3 on one hole. Did you do another 3 on one hole?
I hope not. No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
I played 3 rounds in Myrtle. I lost 3 golf balls.
I think the most, I had 2 on one hole. I know that.
Okay.
But I would say that I'm probably sitting at, I'm going to go a 6.75.
Of
confidence. And really,
we're just going to round that up to a 7.
It's just, I need some range time. I haven't been able to hit a range. And really, the only thing I have is like going through swing fields in the side yard or hitting.
Let's be honest. I know what you need. You need some Brad time. We need to go out and play where we're not looking to just kick each other's head inside out and beat each other, where we go out and play and we can actually help each other through and play that. I don't want to call it a practice round, but like a round where we're working on things. Where we're not stressing
out. You're my teaching pro.
Yeah. I think I can get you.
I did want to ask this because you kind of got a little offended after your birdie. You were like, do you see what I'm doing differently now? And I was like, dude, I haven't looked at your swing today. It was like, I looked at the outcome. I was like, I've been trying to focus on my own today.
I know.
But what is the new thing that Brad is doing?
I'm trying to have less hinge in my swing, on my wrist.
Okay. So like more flat wristed?
A little bit stiffer wrist where I don't get into that baseball hinge where everything has to time perfectly back up. Where I used to block everything right. So I'm trying to, and it started out with my wedges because I was able to control distance a little bit better with a waist shot, shoulder shot, full shot with my 58, 54, where I was trying to dial in a little bit more distance. And then I was really good through Fit Cup, for Fairway Fit Cup. I even told you, I was like, dude, I'm feeling it so great with my driver. And I probably haven't hit the driver that well in a long time for a bigger chunk of rounds. And then once we left Fairway Fit Cup, it kind of like it was there, but it wasn't there. But I felt like there's times where I still feel really good. And what I'm telling and why my miss is left is because I get flippy and like my hands close off and my toe closes down. And then my drives aren't even out and pull. They're like duck hooks almost. So I do think I'm trying to work on the hinge and just being a little bit longer back, wider golf swing, which is something I've been working on for a while. But yeah, so you're at a 7, which is good to hear. I do think you need some Brad time. And hopefully before we get to Gents Cup, which is only about 2 weeks away, less than 2 weeks away, maybe we can figure out a time to have a range session or even a simulator session. I don't know why I can't get my brother and we get this timing all hooked up and we hit a simulator session. But flipping it to me, I will say, as preparing all day for the episode today and doing a lot of our video editing, I have to say my positive scale of positivity was right around a 5. Yeah. And it's just really weird. I go out 2 days after we played. I played a par 3, no more than 105 yard shots. It was 54 or 58. And like I missed the hole in one on 2 holes by spinning one back past it. I just bounced over it. And I put a ball, one ball, I think I missed the green poorly. Everything else, if it hit the middle, I was going at flag sticks. I shoot 3 over with a lost ball. I easily could have been like 2 under. And at one time, I thought I was going to be under on a 9. And it was like, couldn't do anything wrong. And then I go out the next day and I shoot just a vanilla 81, again, doing almost like the exact same stuff that I did at major number 2, where I'd hit it well, but then I'd be in trouble and it just couldn't roll any putts in and couldn't get up and down. I drive 9 hours and I talked the wife in to go, let's go play 9 holes. Let's go walk because my hips were hurting so bad. I shoot a 35 from the reds because when I take her out, I like to just play the same tees as her. And I shot a 35 and I went eagle, par. And then on the second par 5, I doubled it because I hit a ball 340 carry downwind OB. So I played the next ball par. I didn't know it was OB. So I had to do the whole local drop that is in that. So that's why it ended up being a double. And then I ended up birdieing one more hole. It was like the easiest golf I've ever.
You play the front or the back?
The front. So I eagled 3, and then on 5, I hit next to the bunker that was on Grant 350 carry. So I'm assuming I hit it like just short, kicked off the side of the hill, and ended up kicking OB. And then I go out, I play with 3 guys that are sticks. It was 2 sub 1 handicaps, or right around a 1 handicap, a guy that's just like me at a 4, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to play some good golf, and I shoot an 84. And it was just...
But somebody, one of those 1 handicaps, or 2, or did the...
Yeah, others? Yeah, no, Brian, friend of the show, shot right there with me. But
so obviously the course was playing tough that day.
Yes, probably didn't, no, we probably didn't damage. We were actually teammates, so it wasn't a good round. The 2 that we played, and the other guy
fed off each other.
Yeah, the other guy that shot like 1 over, 2 over... It was his first round of the year. Like, he hasn't played since the fall. And it just, He just didn't make big mistakes. When he mishit a ball, and I only could tell by sound, it was online. And it was just like, man, where was that? And I don't know, maybe I tried to do a little bit too much. But I went out yesterday, took my little guy out. Shout out to him. Shot a 96, his first 18 holes where we put it all together. Played it for real, played drops, played it, played everything. Shoots a 96. He's pumped. And I shoot, and I'm through five holes. I'm like, all right, I'm doing fine, this and that. And before I know it, I shoot an 82. And I only shoot an 82 is because I went OB on 17, parred the next ball. I went OB on 18 and hit another ball, but I eagled the second ball to save par. So it just makes no sense on what I'm doing. And I will say on Saturday, my putting was just horrendous. Coming back from Myrtle where they were fast, I felt like Friday night they were still rolling. They were wet and slow. And I started the round bogey, 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 bogey. Driver 9-iron on the par 5. I have a 20-footer and I 3-putt it because my second putt is still 16 feet away. I literally hit a 20-footer like 8 feet and I had 12 or 13 feet left. And it was like, I looked at Brian. I was like, I don't even know what to tell you. I didn't hit the ground. I actually hit the ball. It's just contact was not square and I was coming out of my putts and it's almost like I was putting backspin on my putts.
You're trying to feather it in there.
I was trying to drop it in there for eagle. The rule of not leaving the eagle putt short, I left it like 30. I only hit it 30% of the putt. I left it 60% short. But yeah, so I'm not positive. And then I start thinking about last year. This was the time where my handicap actually went up.
True.
And I was like a 5 or 6. I went all the way back up to a 9. And then I had 2 weeks where I was lights out. So hopefully I could figure some things out before Gents Cup, which is 2 weeks away. But I don't know. So I like to think I'm probably right at that.
You're going to get two bullets there, buddy.
And I'm right at that 7 mark. I really am. But before the show, before me getting ready for today's show, I definitely was feeling like a 5. But then I come home, I get some stuff ready to get done, and then was going to take the kids to their practices, and Tyler goes, hey, I want to go chip and putt. The course is closed on Monday. You can play. The range is closed. And I was like, hey, the range is closed, though. He goes, it's fine. We chipped and putt. So I actually went over there for about an hour and a half, and I just drilled putts. I probably hit 100 putts and probably about another 50, 60 chips. And then Tyler and I played a putting game that we like to play. We put like our own little miniature golf course out there and try to play everything as a par 2. So I don't know. I hope I get figured out, but I have no idea when I'll be back on the golf course. And that scares even me think that, because that's not it.
That's not a norm.
The last segment here, when I talk about what's next, working out in the morning, running still is next. I will shout out Brian. I got myself a yardstick and I'm taking it in to school to get something in my hands to work on club face. I think that right now, because me and him, we talked a lot Saturday, is making sure that club face is squaring back up at contact. And if I'm getting flippy, it's how to hold that club face through. I got my yardstick to take in for tomorrow. And like I said, we got 2 weeks. Got to figure it out. We got a big trip coming up. So I don't know.
And a tournament. We're trying to go back to back for Team E.
Yeah, it is a team competition like it was last year.
So luckily, we play on the same team for this one.
Luckily, we're on the same team.
Maybe this year we might get in the same card at one time.
I think we might be paired up this year. I was looking at the teams, and it makes sense to put us together at least once, if not twice. We'll see what they do. But yeah, I got my brother coming on the trip. But yeah, so we will be back on probably here in about a week. We should have some plans about major number 3. We should have some updates about what we are doing to make sure our scale of positivity is either staying where it is or increasing. Maybe we got some rounds to talk about. Not really sure.
I am going to try and get out on Sunday. The boss to see if I can get out on Sunday.
Well, I'll send a doctor's note.
But I do need some range sessions. So I'm going to try and get some morning range sessions this week. But obviously stay on my lift and run plan. I'm going to go heavy this week. I think I'm going to go heavy for the next 2 weeks. And then just that way, I got Saturday, Sunday, and then
we I went heavy today. We'll see. It was good to be back in the routine. The run didn't feel great, but it usually never does. Until next time, please, everybody, we're trying to get to 500 subscribers here probably by the end of May. That is a goal of ours. Please subscribe, spread the word, tell everybody
about
us.
Share with your friends.
Yeah, even share with everyone you got out there.
Get your mom, dad, your cousin Eddie, everybody to follow.
Yeah, check us out. We are on YouTube. We got videos going out. We're working for a video of Major Number 2 that should be out in about a week as well, too. But man, until next time, we will talk to you later. See you at the 9th green at 9.